In these sessions, we again have been considering some of the objections to Christianity that Asher Norman, an Orthodox Jew, a lawyer, has set down in a book entitled 26 Reasons Why Jews Don't Believe in Jesus, a book, again, that he has written to help Jews against the onslaught of Christian missionaries that are trying to convince them that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah of God that was promised in the Old Testament scriptures to be the only Savior of men. Now, we've been looking at some of the reasons that he gives to demonstrate his misunderstandings and sometimes his fallacious reasoning in terms of the objections. A lot of it obviously is coming from the different presuppositions that we have. We come to the Bible with the understanding that Jesus indeed is the Son of God, that he is the Savior. And we do that because the Spirit of God has regenerated our hearts. It's the Spirit of God that gives us that understanding. But it is important, nonetheless, that we as Christians know why the Bible is true and how we can defend the Bible against some of these gainsayers, against some of these accusations that are made against it. So we're doing that in regard to some of these arguments that Norman raises. Now, in his book, the seventh reason why Jews ought not to believe in Jesus is because Jesus, he says, was not sinless, and that his teachings were morally problematic. Now, he is saying this because this undermines one of the fundamental truths of Christianity, that Jesus indeed was God, and that God is obviously sinless, that God is without sin, and Jesus was without sin. But he tries to argue, therefore, that if Jesus was sinless, he could not be God, and therefore the whole basis and foundation of Christianity's understanding of who Jesus was indeed is wrong. So he does this in many ways, but he tries to find various mistakes that Jesus made in even the way he handled the Old Testament scriptures. Obviously, if he made a mistake, that is not perfection, and that could not be God. Jesus could not be God. So he gives us examples, and there's three particular examples that he points out that I'm going to look at here very, very briefly, that he uses to prove his claim that Jesus was not perfect, that Jesus made mistakes, and therefore, because he made mistakes, even concerning the Word of God itself, that he could not be God. And it undermines then the whole foundation of Christianity. Now, it's based, and it is interesting to me, and it has to be observed here, that he's accusing Christ of being wrong in his interpretation of Old Testament passages based upon his own interpretation. And he's assuming that he's right, and he's assuming that Jesus is wrong. But let's assume just for a moment that Jesus is right, and it's Norman that's wrong in the way he views the Scripture. And indeed, I think that is going to be the very case. Now, very quickly, I'm going to make reference to three of the principal texts that he uses to somehow show that Jesus was wrong in what he says about the Scripture. The first text he refers to is Matthew 23, and this concerns a statement that the Lord Jesus makes concerning prophets that were executed, martyred in the Old Testament dispensation. And verse 35 says that they come upon you, the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. So he's arguing, the Lord Jesus, concerning the Jews' rejection of him, that they always have rejected the prophets. And here were two Old Testament martyrs, Abel and Zacharias, that the son of Berechias, that were martyred in the Old Testament. Now, Norman argues that Jesus is wrong here because Zechariah, was not the son of Berechias, but rather the son of Jehoiada. We know that there was a, according to 2 Chronicles 24, there was a Zechariah of Jehoiada, the son of Jehoiada, that was indeed martyred. He was martyred between the altars, as is described for us here. Zechariah of Berechiah, the son of Berechiah, was the prophet who wrote the book of Zechariah, the 11th of the minor prophets, the next to the last book of the Old Testament. And there's no record in the Old Testament of his being slain, of his being martyred, his being executed. And so Norman argues that Jesus got the wrong Zechariah, that he did not know the Old Testament. He made a mistake concerning who the martyr was. But let's look at the logic of what Christ is saying here. He's making a contrast between Abel, who was the first martyr that we know of in the Old Testament, and obviously Zacharias, that would be the last martyr of the Old Testament. Now, if we take Norman's identification, and again, 2 Chronicles 24 does mention a Zechariah of Jehoiada that was martyred at that time. But that occurred at the year 800 or so, about BC 800. That would hardly be a significant contrast. There was a lot of Old Testament history left after 800 BC. Zechariah, the last of the minor prophets, save one, the Bible gives no record of his execution, no record of how he died. Let's just suppose for a moment that the Lord Jesus was right, and Zechariah, the minor prophet, did indeed die as a martyr. Christ would have known that. It is not part of the Old Testament record. In reality, Norman is arguing simply from silence. The Bible tells us nothing about how Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, died. Let's assume, and rightly we can assume, that Jesus indeed knew. So there's no contradiction. In other words, very simply, there's no contradiction that Christ did have in mind, not the Zechariah of Chronicles, but the Zechariah of the minor prophets, who indeed, according to his knowledge and what he reveals to us, was so martyred. So there's no contradiction at all in what Christ says. Another text is in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, a reference is made to David entering into the house of the high priest to take the showbread and so forth. And verse 26 makes reference to this as David doing that in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, where David then ate the showbread, which was not lawful to eat, and so forth. Now, when we look at the Old Testament record, and this is what Norman points out, that the high priest, during that episode in David's experience, was not Abiathar, but Ahimelech. And Ahimelech was the high priest that was in charge when David took the showbread. So Christ made a mistake. He assumes that Christ made a mistake in the historical record. But again, let's look very carefully at what Christ is saying. Remember the historical context. It is indeed true that Ahimelech was the high priest, and it was right after that that he was executed by Saul, and Abiathar, his son, then became the high priest in his place. Now notice carefully what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying that Abiathar was the high priest when David went into the place to get the showbread. He is simply saying, identifying the historical context, that it was in the time of, and the language very simply means that it was in the time of Abiathar when this episode took place. And indeed it was. Abiathar was alive prior to this. Abiathar became the high priest after that. Jesus is not saying that he was the high priest when David did it, but just that this episode occurred during the days of Abiathar. Let's give Christ the benefit of the doubt. He is simply identifying the historical context in which the statement is being made. No mistake, no inaccuracy. Indeed, Norman is not looking very carefully at what the language of the New Testament is. If we take the words at face value, all Christ is doing is identifying the historical framework in which this occurred. No contradiction to what the Old Testament said. And the final example comes from John chapter 7, where the Lord says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Norman comes to that verse, and he says there's no place in the Old Testament that talks about living waters flowing from the belly of believers. And so Christ incorrectly attributes this statement to the Old Testament, and there's no Old Testament reference to which it refers. But again, I would submit that a very careful reading of the text makes the explanation clear. The text literally says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That statement, "as the Scripture hath said," grammatically refers to what precedes and not to what follows. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, describing what belief in Messiah is. Now then, Christ says, from his belly flows the living waters. And Norman makes a mistake in applying that statement, "as the Scripture says," to what follows, when very simply the grammar allows it to be connected to what precedes. So when we look at the text and interpret it giving Christ the benefit of the doubt and not Norman the benefit of the doubt, the mistakes are made by Norman and not by the Lord Jesus. He was perfect. He was sinless. He made no mistakes in how he used and how he interpreted the Old Testament Scripture.